And the title of my message will be Go with the Willing. Go with the Willing. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, there was a voice that Isaiah heard. And it said, who will go? Whom shall I send? And God is even looking for willing people. God is looking for people that have an open heart and will say, I am willing to go with you. I am willing to fulfill the call that you're calling me to. And whatever what God calls us to, he sees us through. He provides supernaturally everything that we need to be able to fulfill that call that he has. Who will go? Isaiah heard that. And he says, here I am. He acknowledged that he was unclean man. He acknowledged that he did not have all things together. He acknowledged that he is short of what God has for him. But he also acknowledged that God is powerful. That God has the resources. And he says, God, if you're willing to use me, here I am. With unclean lips, with a broken life, with whatever what I have, here I am. Send me. And I believe that there are people here today that are willing to go, but in this willingness to go in what God has called me and you to do, you will face people. You will come in contact with people that will not endorse you. They will not be happy for you. They will not cheer you on. They will not be, in a sense, putting a red carpet in front of you. When God places a calling in our life, remember, not all the people will be on your side. And this is the generation we live in. Not all people will be on your side. Often, we want to applaud. We want the applause. We want the glory. We want the support. Even as we already welcomed you the first Sunday of the students that came from all over the world here to Summit International School of Ministry. Maybe you found yourself in a place when you were looking for the applause of the friends around you when you said, I'm going to go to a Bible school. Maybe your family members. I certainly did not have a whole lot of support from my friends around me. Thank God my family supported me to come here 12 years ago. But sometimes we look for validation and support of people when we feel the call of God. And often, if we don't get the support, we kind of retract back. But listen, if God is for us, who should be against us? And it doesn't say that nobody, in a sense, you will have challenges, you will have people against you. But if God is for you, nothing will stand in your way. You may even seek validation from people around yourself that are the closest. But remember, not everyone is going to support you. Just remember this. Especially in the day and age we live in, not everyone will support you. Being a Christian might not be popular. Being in full-time ministry, it might not be popular anymore. Serving God and giving it all to him, it might not become popular anymore because it will be a cost to pay for that. And that's why we need to know that we know that we know that God is for us, not against us. And that Bible says that he builds the church and the gates of hell doesn't have power, will not stand against it. It is Christ's church. We are part of his body. And when we understand that, we become unmovable. Not because we cannot be unmovable, but because God is unmovable and he lives within us. Amen? The fact is that we will face opposition and we will face people that will criticize us and question us and even question our qualification. But isn't it great that we as believers of Jesus Christ, we don't qualify to follow Christ. We don't qualify to become born again. We don't qualify by our good deeds to qualify to become Christians. All what we qualified is for damnation and separation from God. But because of the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, because he has qualified to pay the price for me and for you, now we become the body of Jesus Christ. Let me share with you that the most important thing we should worry about and think about is, are we pleasing our God? Does God put favor upon our lives to qualify us to do what he has called me and you to do? Not the world, not the people around us. Not what everybody says, but God. What does God say about me? And he says, child, I love you with everlasting love. And because you don't qualify to do what I've called you to do on your own, I'm gonna put now power and authority in your life to live for my purpose. Praise God. God does not look for qualified people, but willing people that are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit by trusting Him. And that's the bottom line. I think that we have found ourselves in a journey with where we look for people that qualify for everything that we do. We look for qualification. You go to a job, what is your qualification? And we bring a resume that is 3 pages long, and half of the stuff we make it up because we want it to sound good, because we want the job. But God doesn't look like that. He said, come as you are. Come as you are, and I'm gonna make you a person that I desire you to be. I'm gonna make you that woman and man that I want you to be. Not on your own, not in your own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, transformed by His grace, so our feet can stand upon the rock, so we can be immovable. Praise God. Jesus is a good example of this. Jesus Himself, He came to this earth, and you would think that being the Son of God, when He would preach the gospel, the good news, when He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, you would think that everybody will stand and shout and raise their hands and support Him. But He did not get that. Many people turned away from Him. Many people, when they heard the message of the cross, they said, this is nonsense, we're leaving. And even to the point that Jesus even looked to His disciples and said, do you want to leave too? Not many people even received Him as the Messiah. But there were a group of people that when Jesus was walking by and He would just say, follow me, there was no explanation. There was no convincing of why they should follow Him. There was not a 5-hour negotiation. How much they're gonna get paid, how much they're gonna get in life, what are the conditions. He just was walking and says, Peter, follow me. John, follow me. And they said they had left everything behind, because to follow Jesus Christ sometimes might cost us everything. Often we look what to gain in life. And that's why so many people are not willing to go with God. Because they look of the gain, what should I gain from this? And if there's no gain, there is no game. But we are called, even if it costs us everything. It sounds crazy, but it is the truth, because ultimately, we are not of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world. Our eyes should be on heavenly things, because we are seated, as Apostle Paul reminds us, in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's so many people, they don't have a willing heart. But there are people also that are called by God. They have the call of God, and they want to go with God. And I want to encourage you, go with the willing people. Don't go with those that discourage you all the time and tell you always the problems. Go with the willing. You will get further in life. We live in a society when being called by God might not be popular, as I mentioned before. We cannot walk out our calling in such a position without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to remind you, if you call this church your home church, and students that are here, one thing that we need to learn, we need dependency upon God. We need dependency upon Him, because the world thinks that we're crazy. The world thinks that we're nuts. But we know, as we've heard last week from Pastor Josiah, as he shared the word of God, that all of these things are actually in accusations against the church, but not in actuality. And this is the world we live in today, that we will face things, our children will face things in life that none of us faced maybe before. But history repeats itself, and how much more we need the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have people that discourage us around us. We have people that see the negative. We have people that tells us the practical things. And it's so amazing, because a Christian life that we're called to live, it's living by faith and not by sight. And often we'll have people around us that will tell us all the negative things and discourage us, and often even bash us, often even take it to another level, creating even a group of people that will just make up stories to discourage you. Now let me tell you that healthy criticism is good to have from people that you love and trust. And criticism, when we bring criticism to the people that are willing to go, we are not stopping them from going all the way, and we're not stopping the willingness that they have to go with Christ. It's just we're helping them to navigate and to lead them to Christ. But there are people in life that you will encounter that doesn't matter what you do, never will be right. No matter how much you do, never is enough. And no matter how much you give, it's never, never enough to satisfy. And I want to remind you that me and you, as we're called to follow Christ and we have the willing heart, surround yourself with people that have a willingness to go all the way. To have a willingness to follow Christ and that have the willingness to say, you know what, if God is in this, I am in as well. Now I would like to read a story that stood out to me. And you might be thinking, where in the world are you getting all this from? It's from the Bible. If you can open up with me, 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verses 17 through 26. 1 Samuel, chapter 10, verse 17 through 26. Verse 17 says this. Later Samuel called all the people of Israel to meet before the Lord at Mizpah. And he said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, has declared. I brought you out from Egypt and rescued you from the Egyptians and from all of the nations that were oppressing you. Verse 19. But though I have rescued you from your misery and distress, you have rejected your God today and have said, no, we want a king instead. Now therefore present yourself before the Lord by tribes and clans. So Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel before the Lord, and the tribes of Benjamin was chosen by lot. Then he brought each family of the tribes of Benjamin before the Lord, and the family of the Mitrites was chosen. And finally Saul, the son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for him, he had disappeared. That's interesting, right? All of a sudden, they're choosing Saul, and they're looking. Everybody's supposed to be there, and Saul is nowhere to be found. He disappeared. So they ask the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. So they found him and brought him out and stood head and shoulder above anyone else. Then Samuel said to the people, this is the man that the Lord has chosen as your king. No one in all the Israel is like him. And all the people shouted, long live the king. Then Samuel told the people, what are the rights and duties of a king? He wrote them down and on a scroll, placed it before the Lord. Then Samuel sent the people home again. Verse 26. When Saul returned to his home at Gibeah, a group of men whose hearts God has touched went with him. But there were some scoundrels who complained. Now, can this man save us? They were asking. And they scorned him and refused to bring him gifts. But Saul ignored them to this point. This story is amazing. I've heard the story of Saul. Since growing up, I know that you probably heard the story of Saul. But weeks ago, I was reading the Word of God, and I was pondering upon the story, and it stood out to me. A few things, and this is what I would like to talk to you about. There are three things that really stood out to me, that willing people have to choose other willing people to go further in the kingdom of God. And the first thing that stood out to me, it says in verse 22, so they asked the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, he is hiding among the baggage. And the first thing that I want to remind you, don't hide behind the baggage. God is calling you. God is calling you. And if there is a willingness in your heart and God has called you to do this, don't hide behind your baggage. Because we all have a baggage. Some it's a little more smelly than the other, but we all have one. And often, instead of going all the way with God, going with the people that God has called us to go, with the willing ones, We hide ourselves behind the baggage. Mind you, in private, Saul was already anointed as king. You know, Samuel is doing all these procedures. It's almost kind of like, what is going on? We're going to be deciding right now who is the king. Samuel knew already who is the king. Samuel privately already anointed him. There was discussions already privately. And now, when it was to be announced before the people, Saul is hiding among his baggage. And a few things maybe was going on through his mind. I'm afraid. I am scared. I don't know what people are going to think about me. The fact that I have baggage to hide among, maybe the people know my baggage too. Maybe I don't qualify. Yes, I am anointed as king. I know in private that this is the thing that God is calling me to do. But now, who are the people that are going to go with me? I find myself to be alone. But he says that they inquire of the Lord. And God says, no, no, he's hiding. God is calling him out. And now the word of God is calling me and you out. Don't hide behind the baggage. God is looking for willing people. Go with the willing. Don't go with the complicated people. Don't go with the negative people. Don't go with the people that everything is a problem. Go with the willing people that have faith in their hearts that God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. And if you're hiding behind things in your life today, God is calling you out of there. It's not because he has a call for you, but it's because he already called you. Huge difference. Often we don't walk by faith and we don't step into the things that God has already called us to. It's because we think that one day he will call us. But the Bible teaches us that if we are part of the body of Jesus Christ, each one of us already have a call. And often we hide behind the mess, we hide behind the things in our life because we think that the call is ahead of us, but you have been called already and now God is calling you out of that mess to empower you and to acknowledge you before the people to say that this is my son and this is my daughter who I am approving for ministry. Do you have a willing heart? Do I have a willing heart? Do we have a willing heart? Point two, I would like to remind you from the scripture. In verse 26, it says, a group of men whose hearts God has touched went with him. Go with the willing. You might say, who are the willing? The willing are the people who God has touched. Who God has touched. The Bible says over here that he went when the people were before him. And then when Samuel said, go home. The Bible says that Saul went with the people. And it says, whom hearts God has touched. There's so many people that are willing to go with you, but their hearts are not touched by God. And all what they're going to do in your life bring mess and distress. All what their mission is in life to keep you away from what God is calling me and you to do. But I want to implore you now and encourage you. Go with the people that the hearts are touched by God. Because at that point, the focus become to glorify him, not the attention to us. The evidence of people whose hearts are touched by God, it's marked by servanthood and willingness to go all the way and to follow Christ all the way. We live in a society where this saying is being spread out among Christians and believers that, you know, the moment you say yes to something is the moment you say no to something. And it's the moment you say no to something is the moment you say yes to something else. In theory, it's good, right? But they're talking about and they're sharing this thing that if you say yes to something, that means you're saying no to what God has called you to do. I don't see that in the Bible. Even though we can learn how to balance our life, we can learn how to adjust things in life, I'm not saying that we always should be yes people. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, when we are born again, there is a willingness to respond to a need. There is willingness and open heart to see the need. And the interesting thought is the people that believe actually that, the moment you tell them no, they get offended. The people that actually tell you and teach you that you should say no to things, you only should say yes to a little box and operate in that, the moment actually when they come to you and they ask you something, you say no, they're the people that get offended. So the rules only apply for them, but they don't apply for you. But that's why the Bible is calling me and you to be servants. And a servanthood has a willingness to say, God, what you called me to, can you lead me and guide me? We are to have wisdom. We are to have wisdom. I'm not saying say yes to everything and ruin your life. No. But don't try to build your life with your own hands. But allow the Master to build you and to craft you and me into His image. Amen? The evidence of people that are touched by God are people who have a willingness to serve and to go with you all the way. In good moments, in challenging moments, in bad moments, in the best moments, they are there for you. It's the body of Jesus Christ and its friends. The disciples of Jesus Christ, even though they failed at times, even though they rejected him when he was going to a cross, Peter especially, but there was a willingness to run back to him because he is the source of life. Amen? Now I'll be closing in a moment and the worship team can come. And the third thing I would like to mention to you is ignore those who are there to scorn you. Ignore those who are there to scorn you. And you can say, where in the Bible did you find that? Let's look in verse 27. And this is what it says. But there were some scorners who complained, how can this man save us? And they scorned him, meaning Saul, and they refused to bring him gifts. But Saul ignored them. But Saul ignored them. Maybe that's why he was hiding behind his mask, because he knew there are people that are gonna scorn him. There are people that are gonna complain. There are people that nothing is ever enough for them. No matter what you do, it's not enough. It's people that draw themselves into the picture in the center of the attention. But it says that Saul ignored him. Brothers and sisters, we need to learn how to ignore scorners, people, and people that complain all the time. Because by that, they try to grab our attention from what God has called us to do. By giving them energy and attention, we actually take the energy and attention from the willing people, because we're trying to fix this other group of people. But you can never satisfy them, because tomorrow is going to be another story. After that is going to be another story. After that is going to be another story. And what happens is the neglect goes to the people that are in all the way. They have a willing heart to serve and to do. By focusing on the people that always are complainers and murmurers and nothing is enough, God did not call us to serve them. God has called us to serve Him. To serve Him. Remember that in the midst of searching your heart and my heart, allowing godly counsel, allowing godly people to speak into our lives, do not get distracted or diverted by scoundrels and complainers. But focus on God. Surround yourself with people that are willing. Surround yourself with people that will correct me and you in love and in kindness. And turn away from people that are there only to bring you down and down and down. Because this was Saul did. This was Saul did. There will always be the critics around us, taunting us. But the difference is with people that are close to us, they're with us in the game. But the people that are taunting us because we have a willing heart that we want to go all the way with Christ, they're not in the game, they're on the sidelines. We live in America where football, it's a great sport, I guess. My dad says, I don't understand this game. Why is everybody running for one ball? Give each a ball and call it a day. He doesn't get it, right? But we live in a society where Super Bowl game is huge. And we have a little box in our house. The game can be going in a different state. And we sit and scream at the TV to the people that are playing what to do. Am I just guilty of that, or you too? We critic them. We yell at them. You did not do this. Why didn't you pass to that person? He was open. What are you doing? There are some videos that people get so upset that they even break the TV. And these are the critics that from the sidelines are talking. These are the critics that actually are distracting. But actually, when you're in the game, it's totally different. There is coaches that you trust, meaning there are people that you allowed in your life that you trust to correct you, to guide you, that are willing to go with you all the way. Because if the team wins, even though the coach doesn't play, he wins as well. And we as the body of Jesus Christ, we become so divided now that we need to be united, that if one person wins, we all win. No, but we all want to hold the ball. We all want to do the touchdown. But let me tell you something, what it's amazing about the body of Jesus Christ. That it's not about my race or your race. It's about Jesus Christ that ran the race. He finished the race. He did the touchdown already. And we're entering into the victory now. And there's a difference. And when we look now to the right or to the left to people, they will discourage us. Because we miss the point that Jesus Christ finished the race already. And we're winners in Him and through Him. And there always will be people from the sidelines that will tell you, no, don't do this. They will talk negative. They will discourage you. But go with the willing. And the willing people are the evidence of a willing person. It is the one that have a servant heart. And the one that the Holy Spirit, God has touched their hearts. And those were the people that Saul went with. But the complainers, the thunders, all the other ones from the sideline, Saul, what did he do? He ignored them. And today I want to encourage you, it's a little bit of a different message, right? Ignore people that bring you down. Hang out with people that build you up. Ignore people that are there only to tell you negative after negative after negative, problem after problem. And go with the willing people that are willing there to be through thick and thin, to go with you all the way. Invest into those people around you. And go with the people that are being touched by the Holy Spirit. Their lives, their hearts are being transformed. That they are gonna support you as a leader. Support you as a pastor, as a future minister, as a future Sunday school teacher, as a future, even whatever what you do, we are all called as we teach here at school, living for the benefit of others. Whatever what we do, find yourself with people that are transformed and touched by God. Their hearts are marked to serve others. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this example that you have left on the pages of the Bible. That Saul, he already was called. He was not waiting to be called. He already was called. And he was hiding behind the baggage. Lord, I pray if there's people in this room that already called and that's why they're here. And if there are people that are hiding behind the baggage, Lord, would you cause them to come out and to be able to publicly declare your goodness and to serve other people and to fulfill the call that you have upon their lives. Lord, cause us not to be stopped by the scorners, not to be stopped by the complainers, not to be stopped by those people that want to bring us down, but give us the grace to see those people whose hearts are touched by you and to go with them as Saul did. He went with the people that were touched by God. And the evidence of people as such, there's evidence of servanthood, of loyalty, of serving you first and foremost, and serving the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you give us the grace to determine, to have wisdom, to see those obstacles in our life that come against us, to see the people that are trying not to build us up, but to destroy us and to divert us from the call that you have placed upon our hearts. And as Saul there, he just ignored them. It is the ability that he had when you had called him to ignore those that are complaining, to ignore those that were taunting him, to ignore those that did not recognize him. Lord, so often we want to be recognized by people, God, but we want to be recognized today by you. Lord, would you pour out your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Cause us to do the impossible by the power of the Holy Spirit as the early church did. Lord, help us. Help us to get godly counsel. People that will build us up and correct us in love and in kindness. Give us the grace, O Father. and help us to go with a willing heart. To go with a willing heart. Lord, if there are people in this room that feel called but they don't see support around them, they don't have support, God, would you send them people with a willing heart? With a willing heart to be partners. To be able to go all the way and to finish strong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A good place where a willing heart is being made. A good place where our lives is being transformed and molded is actually in a prayer time. It's at home in the mornings, in the evenings, during the day, whatever you do. But also, as we mentioned, that every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we have here the worldwide prayer meeting. That we pray for other people, for other needs. And by result, when we pray for them, God does something in our life, in our heart. He touches our lives and we become people marked by Him that serve other people. I want to encourage you, make time for prayer. Don't wait for time to come so unexpectedly that you would want to come to pray. Maybe you're not going to be able to pray, to come to prayer meetings. But I want to encourage you, come pray with us. Not out of a burden that it's a heavy thing to do, but because Jesus Christ has loved us and He loves to commune with us. And now there's the body of Jesus Christ around the world that when we pray for other people, it is what the body of Jesus Christ is for, to carry each other's burdens. And by result, we are getting blessed. By result, God is answering our needs when we pray for other people. Amen? Tuesday night, I would like to see you here. If you call this church your home church, I want to encourage you. Let's come together. Let's fight for other people who can fight. And go with the willing. And as I share today, are you willing now to join us on Tuesday night? I know you're willing to come on Sunday. But are you willing to come on Tuesday night? Because I want to go with you, those who are willing. I want to lock hands with you and go forward into the kingdom of God, what God has for us. Don't go with the people around you that tells you it's impossible. Why do you waste time to pray? No. Prayer is one of the cornerstones of the church. And this is where God touches our hearts. This is where God is touching and marking us as His children. Go with the willing, but the willing are being made in prayer. Would you stand with me in this moment? And if this word spoke to you, I would like to invite you to come to the front and say, God, I want you to make me a willing person. Forgive me if I was a complainer. Forgive me if I saw all the obstacles in life. Forgive me if I taunted other people that were willing. But I want to be in the group of people that went with Saul, that were marked and were touched. Their hearts were touched by you. And the evidence of that is having a willing heart to serve. Because this is what the kingdom of God is, serving others. And if this is you, join me here up front and we're going to pray in a moment.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Give myself away, yes, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away, oh, I give myself away so you I give myself away, Jesus. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can. I give myself, my life is not my own. myself, I give myself to you. My life is not, my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you. My life is not my own.
To you I belong.
We give, I give myself, I give myself to you. Sing my life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
Like to spend some time in prayer as we believe here at Times Square Church Summit campus. And this ministry overall was birthed in prayer, through prayer, and the sustainability is in prayer. It is prayer. And I would like to ask you not to pray. We have students that arrived among us that don't feel the best, and we're just going to carry them in our prayer time. Praying for them, for God to touch their hearts as they're in apartments, as they're streaming in. So they will know that they're the body of Jesus Christ that prays for them. Amen. And we're going to pray for that. And I would like to ask Dr. Colin if she can come pray for that. And then I will ask Pastor Nick to come and pray for our families, the church family specifically, for our children going to school, what they face in life, to pray for our families so God blesses us with strong families to live for His kingdom. Amen. And then the following, I will ask Pastor Carter to come and pray for God to touch our hearts as we heard, as God touched the hearts of these people that went with Saul. And for God to touch our hearts now and to give us a willingness to go all the way with Him. A willingness to serve. And all of us, if we can lift our voices, our hands, and pray together. Pray for each other and fight for each other. Amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you that your word says that your people will be made willing in the day of your power. We thank you for the power of this word, the power of gathering together in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. You are making us more and more willing to come to you in prayer. We just thank you now. We are lifting up those, Lord, who are afflicted by COVID. Lord, whether they're in this congregation and the sick ones in congregation, Lord, or the fear that comes with it. But Lord, at this time we gather now to remember those at Summit, Lord. I pray for the staff that are sick, oh God. And Lord, I just ask you to visit them where they are. Please let them know, oh God, you will take them through. Thank you, oh God, that you are our healer. We ask you to touch them, body, soul, and spirit. I ask you to let not the staff grow discouraged, or those that are remaining on their feet that have been added burdens, oh God. I just thank you that you will be the strength for those in the sick bed, and you will be a strength to those that move through this day to keep it all going. We give you the praise. Now, Lord, I lift up the students, oh God, that are in quarantine, and how the time is long, how they battle in their mind. Lord, I thank you. You brought us through last year. You will be faithful to bring us through this year. So I ask you that these students right now, that it seems like they've gotten sidelined or a poor start, there is no poor start, Lord. You're the Lord of it all. So visit them even right now and lift their spirits and let them know they have made the right decision by coming here. You will bring them through. And I pray the evidence that we will grow stronger and closer together on this campus for letting you, oh God, minister to us. So we give you the praise, for you are our God. You will touch us mentally, physically, emotionally. We trust you, Lord Jesus. We declare today, we trust you because you are good and you are great. We thank you for hearing this prayer in Jesus' name.
Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for the filling power of your Holy Spirit that enables us to be loving husbands, to be consistent, faithful wives, to be obedient children. And God, we ask for a fresh baptism of your Holy Spirit, oh God, on every family in this church. God, I pray that you would make us willing. Lord, I pray for all the fathers in the room. Make us willing to lead our families, oh God. Make us willing to stand with one another and to take this journey together, Lord God, to encourage one another daily. Father, to urge one another on to good works, Lord. To urge one another on to be given for our wives as you were given for the church. To not frustrate and exasperate our children with expectations that can't be met and pleasure that's never given out to them, oh God. Father, I pray that we would reflect you in every way. God, make the wives and mothers in this room willing, oh Lord. Make them willing to stand together, oh God, to build one another up, to provide a nurturing home for their children, Lord Jesus. Lord, to be a den of safety, oh God, to them. God, make our children willing, Lord. God, make our children willing to follow you, Lord. Make them willing to stand for you in every way. They are not too young to be useful to you. They are not too young, oh God, to be a danger to the powers of darkness that are trying to hold their peers in captivity. God, I pray, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest, you would make our children willing, oh God. Lord, may they know, Father, that what they see on Sunday morning is the same thing they see at home. God, I pray that there would be consistency between the testimony and representation of Jesus that happens in this sanctuary and happens downstairs in the classrooms and between what's lived out and demonstrated in the living rooms, oh God. Father, let there be consistency, Lord. God, make the testimony one, oh God. Oh Father, may the parents in this room, God, may the parents of this church be the greatest testimony of Jesus that their children will ever see. God, may the gospel be heard in the home first and foremost, oh God. Lord, give us voices into the hearts of our children. God, some of us are coming in at different points in the journey, oh God. Some of us, oh Lord, began as Christians when our children were teenagers. Some began, oh God, when they were first born and everything in between. God, no matter what, give us voices of authority and influence. Lord, loving ones, oh God, into the lives of our children. God, that they would know that what they're seeing and hearing is truth. God, give us more authority than the influencers on social media. Give us more authority, oh God, than the voices on the bus rides to school. Give us more authority, oh God, than everything that might be raised against you in the classroom, oh God. Give us more authority, oh Lord Jesus Christ. Not a grasping for power that we want to lord over our children. God, we don't want to be overreaching, Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be like you, but God, I pray, Lord, that they would know that what mom and dad are saying is right. God, you've not called everybody in this room to be some kind of apologist. It's not about that. But God, I pray that what they would see in us would be more real than any argument that would be presented at school. God, may what they see in us, may what they see in their mom and dad, Lord Jesus, may what they see be more real and more powerful than the arguments they hear elsewhere. May it be more powerful than that TikTok video. May it be more powerful, oh God, than that message being put out on Instagram, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Jesus, that what you're able to produce in our families has the power to change the world, God. You have always worked through the family. God, I pray for our singles in this church. God, I pray that you would preserve them, enable them to walk in purity before you. God, I pray, Lord, that you would send them godly spouses who will boldly and fearlessly face the future with them. Lord, that they would be resolved, oh God, to be unafraid to raise a family in this culture. Because God, it's when the culture is hostile that you start calling parents to bear Moseses, oh God. It's in moments like that, oh Lord, when the world is going crazy, that you seek a family who's not afraid of the king's edict. God, thank you for what you're going to do through the families of this church, the ones that already are and the ones that will be. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we recognize this morning that we're in a war now for this country, for the culture, for our children, for our families. And you yourself said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. So God, would you give us the grace and the sensibility, Lord, to come together as a body, to esteem each other, Lord, better than ourselves, to recognize the gifts and the callings on one another, and to believe that you are still the God of the impossible. What's become impossible to us is possible to you. Give us the courage, Lord, of the 80 priests who went in the temple and thrust out King Uzziah when he had become so arrogant that he'd become his own Messiah. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord God, that you'll give us this courage, Lord, that we're going to need at this time. And give us the eyes of faith to see and to believe that you're still God. And you can still push back the darkness and move these mountains and cast them into the midst of the sea. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the unity in your body. For you tell us that when we are unified, you can command a blessing of life. So give us the grace, my God, and the sensibleness, Lord, to understand how real and how necessary unity now is. Help us to put away grievances. Help us to put away any divisions, Lord, any woundings, whatever it is, God, that causes us to sit on the sidelines and point the finger at your church. Lord, help us to put these things away and to join together with our brothers and sisters for this noble cause. Let us not be found among the rebellious, as we heard today, and those who bring nothing into the situation, Lord. They brought no presence to Saul. They literally chose to withhold any goodness from this new direction that God had allowed in the nation. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're going to do. Bless this church. Bless this school. Bless this congregation. Bless the leadership, my God. Let the presence of the Lord be here. Guide us, guard us, lead us, and help us to fulfill our part of this calling to the fullest. Let us not draw back. And, Father, we thank you for it, and we praise you today. In Jesus' name.